Kia ora, and welcome to Family, Whānau and Disability, a podcast brought to you by Parent to Parent New Zealand. We are here for the many Kiwi families out there caring for a disabled child or family member. We know the journey caring for a disabled or a neurodiverse child is not an easy or a straightforward one. So this podcast is a place to explore the issues that affect us, to share stories, swap tips, and even have a laugh or two. We would love for you to join us each month, so make sure you subscribe. Please also be aware that the views shared are those of the individual and may not represent the views of parent to parent.
This podcast is brought to you by Parent to Parent. Please note, any views or opinions expressed by the speakers are of the individual speakers themselves and do not necessarily represent Parent to Parent as an organisation.
Welcome to Connect, Inform, Support on Free FM 89.0. Brought to you by Parent to Parent, the not-for-profit organisation supporting families and whānau of babies, children, teens and adults with any type of disability or health impairment.
Hello fellow humans, I'm Louise. I'm your friendly neighbourhood multicoloured, cis female, pansexual, English, Burmese, human without specialty and altogether awesome being. I'm going to be presenting the show all by myself today, which is quite exciting because I've got no idea what I'm doing. I'm a parent. I came to work for Parent to Parent after being a stay-home mum for 12 years. And I had been helping out at school and met a few kids with challenging behaviour and a few kids who were on the autistic spectrum. And I developed an interest in learning more about these kids and how to help them. So I started doing my own research, looked up stuff, and in my research I came across Parent to Parent as a fantastic resource. So when the job came up here to be an information officer, I went for it. And fortunately they didn't see through my disguise as being a normal human being and employed me. Hurrah! So they still haven't seen through the disguise yet, so shush, don't tell them I'm really just five cats in a trench coat. I'll be talking about dating and disability, and we will have an interview with Sue Paradeau, who is the director of a website called MyKind, an inclusive website for dating and making friends for people with and without disabilities, and it's designed to be a safe and comfortable place for all those people. My kind director, Sue Paradeau, spent 23 years in the media as a newspaper journalist, sub-editor and editor, and trained as a volunteer lifeline counsellor. That was followed by head of communications for a nationwide natural health retailer before choosing to work specifically for a non-profit rather than in retail. She landed at Parent to Parent as business development and communications manager. Sue and her husband have adult family members with various disabilities and are family-oriented. Married for 7 years, they have a blended family of 6 children ranging in age from 17 to 37 and 4 grandchildren. They recently started MyKind, a social and dating space for people with and without disabilities. So welcome to the programme, Sue.
Thank you, Louise.
Thanks for coming in. So why did you decide to start MyKind?
It's a long story, actually, but it started with a conversation with Mike Pullman. He was writing columns for the Parent to Parent magazine, and he wrote one about sexuality and sex workers. He was also on TV. But what interested me the most was that he was talking about visiting a sex worker when he was 21, and that the experience actually wasn't even about sex. It was about intimacy, of being touched and caressed in a way that his mum or carers with latex gloves had never done before. And that left me thinking that I'd probably rather that my kids didn't have to pay a sex worker to get intimacy, but it's obviously a really valuable service because of the power of touch. Also around the same time, there was a program on TV about an Auckland mum who was talking about her experience with almost paying for a sex worker for her son with autism. And I read an article about an Australian guy with Asperger's and his experience on a mainstream dating website. And his problems were basically around the question of when to disclose his condition. Often he'd been having really awesome conversations with somebody, but as soon as he disclosed, that was the end of that conversation. So he had found disabled dating websites and he was using one that was a franchise based in the UK. So he was finding some success with that. So then I checked out the site and I was a bit shocked with the wording. It started off with, "So you're disabled and you're lonely."
that's very miserable.
It was miserable. And the homepage print was too small for me to read, even with my glasses on. So nobody had obviously given any thought to the actual accessibility of the site for people with disabilities. Plus, it only gave man and woman options for searches. So, you know, we know that people who are neurodiverse are more fluid with their attractions and sexuality. And, you know, this got me thinking. So I was talking to quite a few people with different disabilities and their parents about the idea of a Kiwi website that was more Kiwi. And there is one in New Zealand that is part of a franchise. And it's obvious that they've basically just put the word New Zealand in various little parts. It's not Kiwi at all. And the message that I was getting from people was really clear, that they weren't keen on disabled dating websites because that's exclusive.
Yeah.
And they wanted mainstream, but safer and more accepting than hookup sites like Tinder.
Yeah.
So somewhere where there was no expectation for them to date.
Mm, mm.
That's really important because you're talking about some people who have never been on a date.
Yeah.
And the very thought of being on a dating website has that. It freaks them out.
Yeah, fair enough. And it does, it places expectations when you meet somebody that there's going to be more to it than just a meeting.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, where the person comes before the disability.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it really doesn't matter whether you have a disability or not, we're attracted to the person.
Yeah.
So I spent a couple of years researching it, and I came up with a sort of a hybrid kind of site idea, taking a mainstream app and twisting and bending it, basically, to tailor-make it into something that's more inclusive and diverse.
Mm.
And then there was the money.
It's always the money.
The money. And I had quotes from 50,000 up to 100,000 to start the website. One quote I got was under 10. So I went with that, and it's using a WordPress dating app. So my husband and I, because I was feeling so passionate about this, we funded it. And it's cost us just over 10 grand. And it's really, really early days. We've only got 7 or 8 people on the site at the moment because they haven't marketed it. So as soon as I get my tax refund back, that's what I'm going to be doing.
And we'll put a link to it in the show notes as well, make sure people hear about it.
So that's what it is. It's really, really simple.
Mm.
I think the registration is probably a little bit too complicated, so I need to still do some work on that.
Yeah, just tell us a bit about how it works then. So people access the site, and then what do they need to do?
Okay, so when you go onto the site, you can just go on and do a quick search. So anyone can go in there and scroll through the faces. There's just a name and an age under that person. The quick search also includes man, woman, bisexual, transgender and non-specific. So anyone can do that. If you want to actually chat to people, then you've got to register. And that, I've tried to make that as safe as possible. So through that process, because it's not computer generated, it's actually done by me and sometimes my husband when I'm too busy, we go through the registrations and make sure that that person is who they are. And basically people, there are a couple of people on there who have not been able to fill out the registration form themselves, but that's been done by their support worker or their parent. And that's cool.
Yeah.
I know these support workers. Anyway, of course, the person who fills it out for them also has to disclose who they are too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Of course, it's only available for people who are over 18 and over.
Yeah.
What I want to put in there at some stage is a matchmaking service. So that will be also done not by computer, but by me.
Yeah. By a real human being.
A real, yep. Absolutely. And I think this is really important for people who are concerned about the security of it.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's supported by a network of computers and cloud-based services and other infrastructure and information technology. Nothing's foolproof these days.
Oh, yeah.
But through the filling out the registration, you know, because it's checked by me, and I'm not going to ever accept anyone that I have any concerns about.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's personal details are shared. People can block people if they don't want to talk to them or hear from them. And I guess, you know, I'd also be checking for inappropriate language and behaviour, whatever that might be. So I can check that if I need to.
Yeah. I did have a look at the website as well. One of the things I noticed about the safety aspect is there's a lot of information on there given to people who are looking to go out and meet somebody and how to keep yourself safe, and really good advice about meeting in public places as well. And I think that's really vital, especially for people who may be maybe fairly naive or have some sort of difficulty with social cues. So make it very clear as to this is what you need to do, this is who to go with and where to be, and tell people that you're going to do. I think that's quite important. It'd be good to see that on other websites as well.
Yeah, I think it's also important for everyone to have those ideas in mind. You know, it's not safe to go and for anyone to go and meet somebody they've never met.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anywhere.
Just random internet strangers. Exactly. It's best practice for meeting anybody that you've only ever seen online. Go to a public place, tell people when you're going to go, where you're going to go, have your phone.
Yep.
You know, go in daylight.
And there's, and I mean, you know, you can take somebody along too.
Yeah, that's it. That's an awesome idea.
If the person you're meeting is not happy with you taking anyone along, then are they worth meeting?
Yeah, that's it, exactly. If you say, I'm a bit nervous about this, I'm going to bring my friend on the first date. Yeah, it might be a little awkward, but a decent person would go, oh, yeah, okay, fair enough. It's kind of unnerving and a bit scary, fair enough. You know, it would just make it a relaxed coffee and chat. Yeah, definitely. I think that's true.
Yep. Why it's different, and I've talked about how it's a hybrid site, and it's more inclusive and diverse.
Yeah.
And there's no pressure to date. And the security, which is probably a little bit more than other sites around the place.
Which is always good. It's always better to be overcautious.
And it's free at the moment until we stock the Sea of Love with fish. It's free.
Yeah.
But at some point I will be charging for the registration and particularly the personal matchmaking service.
That makes sense,
And the other thing, I guess, is that when I do start charging, those fees are not going to go overseas. A percentage of them, a good percentage of them, will go back into the disability sector in New Zealand.
Absolutely.
So there is, I have set up a program for funding, donation and sponsorships to support individuals with disabilities, their family, whānau of people with disabilities, and not-for-profit organisations as well in the sector.
Cool.
So it's quite important for me to give back, and it riles me, I suppose, that, you know, with a lot of the sites that people pay for these days, all the money goes overseas, and it's not going back into the Kiwis that need it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a big part of my kind too.
Yeah, that's another thing I was going to ask you. You say it's quite a Kiwi website, so what makes it very much a Kiwi website?
Well, the language to start with.
Yeah.
We have, because we don't have many photographs of people at the moment, the ones we do are Kiwis with disabilities.
Cool.
They're real people. They're not iStock images of pretty people. And there are also some images there of, you know, things that are kind of Kiwi. I think it's got a Kiwi feel. That will evolve, obviously.
Yeah.
The more people I get on there, if they're happy to have their photographs on there, then that would be cool. I didn't want to use iStock.
No, fair enough.
Because that was one of the things that is very common with all the other disability dating sites around the world, is they have, you know, the standard beautiful people, you know, they're very Eurocentric, So you've got a woman with long blonde hair sitting on a picnic rug with a Latino guy who's also good looking in a wheelchair in the background.
Incidental wheelchair.
Yeah, they all look exactly the same. We all know that is they're not real.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. And if you want to create that sense of safety and security and trust, like you're saying, having people who look like real people is a good way of going about that. So people could look at it and go, actually, yeah, this person actually looks a bit like me. Oh, my goodness, a real human being. I think that's important. And I've been doing a little bit of research on resources for people about not just dating, but about teaching their kids and the people they look after about sex and sex education and stuff. And there doesn't seem to be a great deal of New Zealand-based websites for that specific information. So the more of those we can have, the better, to be honest. And I think that's important because I think Kiwis, I'm from England, we're the height of Victorian prudishness. But I think Kiwis can be a bit prudish when it comes to talking about sex and stuff. And I think we need to change that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a natural human thing.
Exactly, yeah.
And I guess with a lot of people with disabilities, I guess as a parent, you know, it would just absolutely break my heart if I had a teenager or a young adult who wanted a special someone in their lives and couldn't make any connections because of their disability. And it's, you know, we're talking about young people who have gone through the years watching their brothers or sisters or cousins or friends, you know, meet people, fall in love, get married, have kids, and it's, you know, it's totally natural that they'd want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's about family values, you know. As parents, we're always interested in who our kids are interested in, whether they're friends or a special someone.
Yeah, exactly.
We always have that interest.
My perspective as a parent of kids who don't have disabilities is that I want my kids to grow up in a world where disability is a normal part of life as well. I want them not to feel awkward around people with disabilities and to feel that they don't know how to talk to people in a wheelchair or somebody with autism. I want them to just see people as just part of the glorious spectrum of humanity. And that's one of the reasons I love doing this work, because it teaches me, as someone who's been fairly isolated from the disability sector, to be more accepting and to be more aware of accessibility and to just take other people into account a bit more. And I think this is all part of it. And that's one thing I liked about My Kind, is that it isn't a disabled website. It's an inclusive website. And I thought that was a really vital point, that it's about bringing people together rather than separating them off into their special little groups.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. I can remember when I started, somebody asked me, why would you want to date somebody if you have a disability? Who also has a disability? I thought, gosh, what a really weird question. It's not about the disability, actually. It's about the person.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I know couples who both have disabilities, different disabilities.
Yep.
I know couples who one has and one hasn't.
Mm.
You know, and I guess... And I think that my husband and I are probably both on the spectrum, I would say. But it is, in my ideal world, we see the person before the disability, before their age, before their gender,
everything.
Or ethnicity,
yeah,
all that.
Yeah,
it just becomes sort of like the fabric that around them, or if they want to own that disability, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's up to them. But that's my ideal world, and I guess that My Kind is kind of like a little snapshot of what I'd like.
I think it's fantastic, and I like the fact that New Zealand is often quite an innovative country, because we come up with a lot of things first, a lot of little cool new ideas first. So if we could lead the way for being a sort of country where we're very much inclusive and accessible, and we take people's needs into account regardless, and we build and we create with people on the margins in mind, then, you know, show the world how it's done. If we can do it here, then anyone can do it.
Absolutely.
Cool. So thank you very much for coming in, and much appreciate it.
Thank you, Louise. It's been a pleasure.
I'd like to read you the section on sex and disability from this book, Sex, the All You Need to Know Sexuality Guide to Get You Through Your Teens and Twenties, because I think it's the first book I've read about teaching kids about sexuality and all that that entails that has a dedicated section on disability. Sex and disability. Disability is a word that can cover a wide range of things. A person may have a physical, neurological, psychological, developmental, or learning difficulty in an obvious way. They may be deaf, blind, or in a wheelchair, have a missing limb or a speech impediment, or suffer from a condition like narcolepsy or an obsessive-compulsive disorder. Some disabilities, such as epilepsy, fibromyalgia, eating disorders, depression, attention deficit disorder, and autism, may be fairly invisible or harder to notice. When it comes to sex and disability, it's pretty simple. Most folks with disability are like most people without disabilities. Most disabilities do not remove the desire for sex, sexual partners, and romantic and/or sexual relationships. Partners of a person with a disability may or may not also have a disability themselves. The same sexual risks that apply to those without disabilities usually apply to those with disabilities. People with a disability can contract sexually transmitted infections like anyone else, and can often become pregnant like anyone else. Having a disability does not take away humanity, nor does it elevate a person to a level above being human. Like most other people, those of us with disability are going to have individual wants and needs, and sometimes some special adaptations need to occur to make sex work for us, whereas some things just don't work. With certain physical disabilities, some sexual positions or activities may be uncomfortable or just not doable. Some medications for mental illness may decrease libido or have other sexual side effects. Some disabilities may require special modifications during sex to make communication possible. For someone with visual impairment, verbal communication is important. For someone with hearing impairment, having the lights off may not always work. If you have a disability, you may find you've got to work a bit harder at communicating with your partner than do those without a disability. That may have its rough spots and get frustrating sometimes, but it's actually a blessing in disguise. The better any set of partners gets at communicating with one another, the better their relationship and their sex life tend to be. Ask for help managing your sex life when you need it, not just from your partner, but also from friends, parents, doctors or therapists. It's hard enough for many young people to talk to their doctors or counsellors about sex. It may be an even larger challenge for those with a disability, especially if a doctor or counsellor thinks that a disability makes someone less of a sexual being. If you have a disability and need to know about issues pertinent to your sexuality, like whether your disability affects your fertility, how to engage in a certain sexual activity with limited mobility, what type of birth control you can use, how to talk to partners about sexual specifics pertaining to a disability, ask questions of your healthcare providers and insist on getting the answers you need. If you have a healthcare provider who insists on treating you like you must not have a sexuality because you have a disability, find a new one. If you have a disability, you may also find that you have social challenges when it comes to dating, relationships, and sexual partnership. Whether you date or want to date someone with a disability, you may find you have to fight for your right to live, date, and love like anyone else. You may face discrimination or silly questions about your abilities, even when they aren't asked with the intent to be insensitive or malicious. You may find that some people just will not even consider dating a person with a disability for any number of reasons, both fair and completely stupid. If you're a person with a disability dating a partner without a disability, or you are a person without a disability dating a person with a disability, you may both have to deal with tricky and difficult social adjustments. Talk it out among yourselves, your friends and your families. Ask all the questions you need to, even if they seem stupid. If your partner has a disability, inform yourself about their specific disability. Seek out support groups or help intended specifically for those with disabilities and their partners. Try to be patient and have a relationship that's full and fun, not tense. No one should feel as if they're walking on eggshells all the time. If a person with a disability tells you something, won't break them or hurt them or make them ill, trust them. If you have a disability and your partner without disability tells you they're cool with adaptations you need or things you can't do, believe them.
Connect, inform, support. Join us next week on Free FM 89.0 for support and information from Parent to Parent. The program can be downloaded as a podcast, and of course you can get more information on our website, parenttoparent.org.nz.
This has been Family, Whānau and Disability from Parent to Parent. I have been your host, Johanna. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that you'll join us again soon.